Everyone we'll stare at it for a while. Hello and welcome to the Safe Spaces panel. Basically, we've written a lot of letters to each other over this panel. I've seen several thousand words of discourse just about what are we going to talk about tonight. So we went upstairs and had a bit of a chat, and we've done our panel, so would you all like a drink? We'll go to the bar. No? Okay. We want to talk about a couple of things. The very first thing we'd like to do is talk to you all about what is a safe space. Do you consider the convention a safe space, and what determines the convention is a safe space for you? So would anyone have any thoughts on how does the con appear as a different space from everyday to you? How do you know that the con is a different space from your everyday space?
Because
it's adults. Teacher.
Say whatever I actually want to without people going, yeah.
Well, you're the guy.
The main thing, I mean, it's kind of circular, but you, in a con, you aren't judged for behaving the sort of way you behave in a con.
Yeah. That is quite circular.
Yeah. But it's a good description.
I think that's worth repeating to make just make sure it's actually recorded properly. Dave Cake said that a con is where you are not judged for behaving the way that you behave at a con, which I think is definitely worth saying.
Unless you behave like a twat.
One of the things that we do want to say up front is that we're not here to talk about policing safe spaces. We will talk a little bit about that at the end, but that's not the main aim of today's discussion. Now, I'm taking over, so I'm going to sit down for a minute. Does anybody else want to talk now, or do you want me to go on to the next step that we're talking about?
I just wanted to say a bit about cons as a separate space to the everyday, and to me, that I think that in many ways, a con is a safer space than the everyday in terms of freedom of expression, but sometimes only the right expression. But definitely, I feel that it is a different space. How about you guys?
No, that's a good summation. I mean, look, you know, at your work or your school or wherever else you are, or even with your family, a lot of the time, you can't just come out and start saying, oh, did you see the latest Battlestar Galactica or Buffy or any of these sorts of things? A lot of them will just go, no, how did you see it anyway? I downloaded it. And then they realise that you're actually an alien and it's all weird. And here you can have those conversations. You can talk about that stuff. You can talk about this great new author who's writing really bizarre fiction, and it's all good.
Actually, Danny, that's what we say about being an alien. That's one of those feelings to hear is the feeling you actually... You can speak a language that's very different here, but in outside of a con, it is like an alien language to a lot of people.
There's a range of common experience, and there's other people there that, if they haven't had that common experience, are often open to it.
Yeah.
I guess my thoughts is, I agree with everything you said, but I think sometimes we can take that shared experience and the wonderful freedom we feel and then assume a whole lot of other things from that and assume that it's a safer space than it actually is.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, where we just want to talk about, you know, how to actually make everybody feel comfortable. And I guess you sort of need those boundaries in order to then have the freedom to have that expression.
Now, there's a lot of information on the net. There's a lot of fandom as a whole has a tendency to write a lot on the net.
So there's a lot of understatement.
There's a few million words out there about cons and con behaviour and things that have happened at conventions, and a number of people have put together a number of lists about things that happen at conventions. And there was a reasonably famous one that went around recently that was by a live journal user called RM, and it had over 1,000 comments. And one of our panellists, Sandy, was wonderful enough to read all 1,000 of those comments.
And colour-coded them.
How's your blood pressure?
It took a while.
And she's come up with 5 basic issues that crop up often. And so what we'll do is we'll cover the 5, Some of them will go very quickly because you'll all go, yep, yep, completely right there. And some of them are a little bit more difficult to talk about. So number one, basic manners. Please, thank you, holding the door open for someone who's, for anyone really. Being polite to your fellow man.
So some of the, like all of the comments that I've got here, these are not my ideas, these are the ideas that the fans who've experienced various behaviours at cons have sort of put down as suggestions. And so a lot of them are very, very basic things. Don't stare at people, silence your phone, you know, or leave the room if you have to answer it. Use your indoor voice. basic turn-taking, that kind of thing. And really quite important ones like not asking strangers personal questions, that sort of thing. So there's some really basic stuff, hopefully, that we would all be fairly familiar with. But it's kind of important because it does feed into some of the more sort of subtle things later. And the basic politeness, it seems pretty simple, but it can get into, you know, the more advanced areas as well, like noticing if your behaviour or conversation is making other people around you uncomfortable. So actually, some of that self-awareness and noticing, picking up on social cues and things like that. Learning to gracefully insert yourself or extract yourself from a group or a conversation. So those things can be really important. Making some effort to include people, including, you know, especially newcomers if they're new to fandom or whatever. So if somebody's kind of hovering and clearly wants to join in your conversation, doesn't know how, you know, making an effort to introduce them to people and that sort of thing. So this is the really basic stuff, and that first category of things, it's rules that should apply everywhere. It's not specific to cons. So that first category is just basic rules that can apply in any social situation, and you know we all fumble with them sometimes. So, but that's the first category.
The next category was panel behaviours, how to act in a panel. We covered this very briefly in the Welcome to Your First Con panel, but to a large degree, being polite to your co-panellists, speaking clearly, taking questions from the audience, and being aware of the audience's response to your comments and your own response to audience comments, to not talk over your co-panellists. Usually that's supposed to be mediated somewhat with a mediator. What are they called?
Moderator.
So this is an external force moderating your behaviour, but we also expect people to self-moderate as well.
Yeah.
Was there anything else in panel behaviours that was...
Preparing if you're on a panel.
Yes, preparation. That's the key thing as well. If you're on a panel, take it reasonably seriously. You don't have to, you know, if it's a fun topic, then it's a fun topic. But at the same time, you're there for a reason. You're there to provide entertainment and or question marks in people's little minds. But you are there for a reason, and you are trusted to provide some sort of knowledge and some sort of entertainment. You're also expected to be on time. We won't talk about that because I haven't been on time for anything yet.
So some of the comments that people made in respect to this, there's ones for the panellists and then ones for the audience. So that for the panellists, obviously, things like preparing your material, don't hijack or dominate the conversation, listen to your fellow panellists, all those things that Sarah covered quite well. And then for the audience, it was things like, obviously, don't talk throughout the panel, don't interrupt. If you have something to say, raise your hand. Don't try to moderate or join the panel from the audience. So if you're somebody who's got really strong opinions, remember that there is that difference. I guess that depends a bit on the structure, because a lot of panels, you know, people actually want to structure it as more of a roundtable discussion. So I guess being aware of what kind of panel you're in, if it's like an academic presentation, you don't want to be, you don't want an audience member, you know, dominating that sort of conversation. And really important one, don't use question time to embarrass the guests. That came up in a few different situations where people had done that.
It actually seems to me that a lot of those ones are very closely related to the first, first set of, but just extended to a group setting.
Yeah, and a lot of it's basic courtesy, common sense. You know, if you're planning to leave the panel early, sit at the back so you're not going to disrupt it too much. If you're doing another activity during the panel, just try to be aware that you're not disrupting people around you, that sort of thing. Fairly simple.
Number three caused a fair amount of discussion, but not as much as number four. Number three is con time is not totally loose time. We do expect you to go a bit wild and have a lot of fun, but we don't expect peanut butter. Nobody expects the peanut butter.
You need to explain that comment. You got to say something like that. You need to explain it.
Well, we expect you all to act like mature adults. We don't expect you to be intentionally offensive, intentionally annoying, to hurt people, to go on active vendettas while in con space. We expect you to act like adults. And, you know, people get drunk and they do some pretty wild things, but most of the time you're not that drunk that you can't think, hey, maybe I should do that while wearing clothes.
And not peanut butter.
And not peanut butter.
I think... Did I
summarise that badly?
No, I'm sorry, I've lost my train of thought. That's all right. Hang on, I'll think of it in a minute. It's all right, keep going.
Which kind of leads into, in a roundabout way, into any more comments on number three first?
No, number three, the whole idea that just because it's a con doesn't mean it's a get-out-of-jail-free card, that yes. Still normal decencies of behaviour apply. Whether that's things like being polite to the staff, not trashing the hotel, public sex, don't try to shock the other guests or the hotel staff or anything. It's like freaking the normals is kind of childish behaviour. So it's those things that even though it is a con, it's still to some extent a public space and respecting that.
We're talking about cons as safe spaces, and I think we express that we feel that they are somewhat a different space. But we also, I think there is a tendency to see it as a safe space for not generally accepted behaviour as well. And I think that's a bit of a problem.
Yeah. Andrew, did you have a question?
I was just going to make a point about not trashing the hotel, but you've pretty much
covered it. Yeah. I don't want to hear any stories about permanent damage being done ever. accidents happen, and that's fine, accidents happen, but there's a difference between an accident and conscious knowing damage. Number four is personal space, sex, touching, legal consent issues. Now, this is a very, very, very big area, and the first thing that we wanted to point out is that it is actually, you are... You cannot legally gain consent from a drunk person. Okay, that's it, end of story. If they're drunk, then you cannot get consent from them. Now, that's a legal definition.
Yeah.
And if I see a couple who are obviously drunk and doing what they're doing very enthusiastically, that's fine, you know. I might prefer they did it in a private area, and if it's annoying people, I might suggest that they go to a private area. But if anyone is unable to give fully enthusiastic and verbal consent, then that is considered rape. Personal space. There's lots of hugging at cons, but I do want everyone to be aware that just because you see someone hugging 5 million people doesn't mean it's going to be 5 million and one. You need to ask. You can't just hug strangers. It's a simple manners thing. You don't enter into someone's personal space without being very sure that you're welcome. And touching... I've got touching on here.
I guess some of the things that were brought up was don't touch people without permission is the number one thing. Don't take photos or video without permission. There was some discussion around, you know, if it's a group shot, that's a little bit different, like a shot of the crowd, but of an individual, it's definitely polite to ask. Don't take photos up women's skirts. You'd think some of these would be obvious. Don't assume people are sexually available. Don't solicit sex from minors. Don't stare at women's breasts. Don't ask to touch a stranger's breasts. If you're going to proposition someone, do it respectfully and in a private place.
A private setting.
Perhaps you'd be better. So all of these things, just respect somebody's space. Don't assume anybody is there for your sexual gratification. And be particularly careful. Some of this stuff you can be a little more lax about if it's somebody you know well, but even with close friends, it's sometimes best to ask them before you start, you know, grabbing them from behind or something like that. Just be aware of personal space and those sorts of boundary issues.
Now, you know, having said that, if everybody's piled on the bed and it's 11 o'clock at night and everyone's had a few drinks and it's all going well, then, you know, everyone's fully able to consent to that sort of thing. If it was somebody that was in the situation that was unable to consent or unable to give consent, then there's something going wrong there. And I think everybody is adult enough to be able to spot that sort of a situation. So we're not saying don't have orgies, okay? Go, have orgies now. Well, but, you know.
No, we're just saying don't have them now.
You can have an orgy too if you like.
I'm going to my room.
To have an orgy on your own.
Yes. With someone I love.
With two people you love.
It's good to be ambidextrous.
Number five is isms. Yeah. Racism, sexism, other isms?
Heterosexism, various isms. This could take up like a week of discussion easily by itself. And so not necessarily going to go into a lot of detail. A lot of the isms problems can be sorted if you learn the basic politeness rules right from like that we covered at the beginning. So, you know, one of the examples that was given in RM's post was somebody going up to a trans person and asking them whether they'd had surgery yet. And, you know, if you understood that rule I said at the beginning about don't ask strangers personal questions, then that wouldn't even come up. You know, it's the really obvious things. You know, don't stare at people who are different to you. Don't mock or insult anyone, you know, for any reason. You know, the real basic stuff. It's there's a lot of specific things that you can talk about for particular groups of people, if it's an issue of disability or race or whatever. And you know, we're thinking of sort of writing up some of these to give people more information later. But the basic rules are fairly simple, and it's the common courtesy stuff mostly.
There's a lot of things. There's racism 101. There's feminism 101. If you're looking on the internet, there's feminism101.com. and racism101.com, and they're really good starting points. I don't know if there's anything else that's easily memorable off the top of my head, though. But there's plenty on the internet to help people learn about unconscious racism and unconscious prejudice and unconscious sexism.
Yeah. One website I did want to mention is the Con Anti-Harassment Project. So
the Open Source Back Each Other Up Project?
No, it's a different one.
Oh, okay.
Specifically for cons, and I mean, we can put the website when we do all the notes and everything.
Yeah.
We'll put a piece of paper up here and a pen later on, and if you're interested in getting an email out about some of the things that we talked about in this panel, then we can email the notes that we've taken. And these pages here are all the emails. I printed them all out. There are literally thousands of words here where we talk about what we're actually going to discuss here. So what you're seeing here is basically the pinnacle of everything that we really want to say. So, any questions about isms? No? Okay. So, we just talked about email addresses.
We have a couple of resources for further reading, suggested reading. This one is is like a mainstream book, kind of a modern etiquette one called Would It Kill You to Say Please? It's quite good. It's very entertainingly written, and it doesn't just cover the usual mismanners stuff, it actually goes into sort of sex and drugs and things as well. So a couple of the examples it has here is the correct formula for declining the bucket bong, and how do you discern the exact stage at a party at which nudity becomes a social obligation. Quite a fun book. And then more specialised, for anyone who's involved in queer, kink or poly communities, this one's called The Bride Wore Black Leather and He Looked Fabulous. This has got all sorts of useful tips, like how to introduce your slave to your mother. Very, very interesting read.
Just the things you never think about when you're not part of that particular community.
I love it.
Well, there's no reason why not. They're part of the family too.
Oh, yeah. That's it, though. If you're not part of that community, you don't necessarily think about that as an issue. But by gee, what an issue.
Okay, so we've covered legal consent issues. We've talked a little bit about the things that have upset a lot of other people at cons. So now we do want to talk about practical suggestions and just suggestions about how to respond if you see something that you're unsure about, and methods of dealing with things. Like, for example, my example of, you know, everybody's on the bed and someone's looking a bit unwell or something and nobody else has noticed, and so what do you do? And the first thing you should probably try and do is get everybody else off the person if it's a bit squishy. And just check with someone, communicate, just say to someone, are you okay? Do you need any help? And see what they say. Asking for that sort of feedback is always a good start. It gives them the chance to say, actually, I don't feel very well. Or, you know, actually, I need to get out of here right now before I vomit everywhere. Or, you know, something like that. Any other?
I just am thinking that the things that we've covered here are all very good suggestions, but they all seem to depend on self-regulation, which is fantastic if you have it. And you know, most people probably do, at least to a great extent. But I think the fact that these rules and suggestions have actually come up in the first place is because not everybody does have that. And so I think we need to talk about what do we do when people don't. And so how can we make the space safer for other people?
And I can just restate that a bit more forcefully. I've seen all of those rules be broken. I've seen some of those rules broken at this con already. I've already had, you know, someone say, if this person is speaking to me, please rescue me, he'll be doing... And, you know, but that's out in less than an hour. I've seen most of these rules over the years be broken by convention guests, let alone attendees.
Yeah.
And in some cases, very badly. Obviously, self-regulation is not enough.
It's the problem that you're dealing with human beings, and human beings are inherently flawed. You know, the reason anyone does anything is it seems like a good idea at the time. And that's great. At the time, it seems like a good idea. In retrospect, no, maybe I shouldn't have shot that person, or maybe I shouldn't have screamed at this person, or maybe I shouldn't have done this or done that. And that's it. But self-regulation is, it's a thorny issue, but at the same time, there's also, how are you going to police these things? You know, who watches the watchers? And policing this stuff is necessary, but at what point does it end? And it's a difficult, thorny issue. And, you know, if we could solve it in an hour-long panel, we'd all get Nobel Prizes, because people have been trying to solve this stuff for hundreds and thousands of years. So it's just a matter of... with making things safe for people, I gave an example earlier when we were discussing the panel before we came on, about a situation I was in about 20 years ago, where I was at a convention and in a room party environment, and one chap there started ragging on one of the other guys. The guy he was going at was a fairly big media fan, as in not well known, but really loved his film, really loved his TV, loved his cinema and all that. This guy started going at him about how many books did he read. And it was a stupid thing to have a go at someone about. But, and the guy's going, well, I don't tend to read novels. I don't tend to read things like that. What I read is film theory and film literature and scripts and things like that, because that's my core interest. And this guy was using this as a basis to attack him and was going at him again and again and again, and then started going round the room and saying to people, how many books do you read in a year? How many books do you read in a year? And using this as another method of attacking him. And no one in the room was really responding to that, saying, well, this isn't relevant, leave the guy alone, because they were all being attacked. And I was sitting there going, I can't, if I knew what I wanted to do, I wanted to stop the situation, but I also knew I couldn't argue this guy down. There was no way in hell, if I started an argument with him, I knew he'd out-argue me, and there was nothing I could do about that. So in the end, I waited for a gap and then jumped in and basically said, look, we have enough stuff in our everyday lives with people picking on us because we're science fiction fans and all that, without us tearing into each other at room parties. Grabbed the guy who'd been the victim of this attack by the hand and said, come on, let's go, and dragged him out before the other guy could start arguing with me. It wasn't, for me, it wasn't the ideal situation, but it worked. It got the other person out of trouble. But I dare say there were other people in the room as well that were sitting there going, this is wrong, but...
what do I do?
How do you stop it? And it's really hard. To be proactive like that is really, really hard. And I've only done it a handful of times in my life because it is so hard.
I'm hoping something that will come from this panel is that we create a culture where it's normal to intervene if you see that sort of thing happening. If you see someone being harassed or looking uncomfortable, that it's okay, that we're kind of giving everybody permission to say something about it.
Okay, I think we had Alistair first. Do you still have a question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In some social forums, there's a phrase that can be agreed on in advance, so that people can know, regardless of what banter is going on, when the situation isn't okay anymore, and that's referred to as the use of a safe word. Should there be a convention safe word agreed that people can say this pre-arranged word that will...
No.
I already know what that phrase is. No, the phrase is, dude, not cool. And the reason I know that phrase is because that's one of the ones that we use occasionally in situations where we're trying to say,
dude, that's not
you
cool.
Just walked over, like, you just stepped a little bit further over that line and I'd like you to walk back, please.
I don't think a safe word is necessary. I think because we are adults, and for the most part of this convention, we will be sober, or at least reasonably. But for the most part, okay?
Sentient. We'll be sentient.
Mostly, okay? There is nothing wrong with saying, excuse me, you've just stepped over the line. Or, dude, that's not cool. And that's not cool is an interesting way to do it, because then they might think you're a bit joking about it.
It's
like,
disarming.
No, seriously, dude, that's not cool.
The tone of voice is important.
But then again, you can also say, like I said to someone recently, sorry, rape joke's not funny ever. And honestly, you know, end of story. I think that we're all adults and we can all say, look, I'm sorry, but you've just crossed the line and I'm not interested in continuing that conversation. I would love to try and empower everyone to feel comfortable enough to say, okay, look, stop, you're making me uncomfortable. That can be very hard. So that's why you've
difficult.
Got to try and... You mean, you're probably going to have time to think, because the person's still yapping. So, you know, start with dude, that's not cool, and see how they respond. And most people will probably go, yeah, and then forget what they were talking about. Also, don't forget, you do have the right to say, this conversation's not making me comfortable and I need to leave. Or even, hey, look, there's Maya, I need to go talk to Maya.
I need to be over there.
But I do not think a safe word is a good idea, because a safe word... means you need to know the safe word before
yes.
you can use it.
It does rely on everybody being part
within
of the code.
The group
and
to begin with.
The problem with the safe word is the people who you will need to use it with when respected.
That too.
Mm. Also, though, what you were saying about walking away, which was something we discussed earlier when we were preparing for the panel, was that one of the problems that you tend to get, not just in fandom but in other places too, is if someone's got you bailed up and they're... you know, attacking you, they're attacking your lifestyle, or they're attacking your mode of dress, or they're just talking about stuff that you just don't want to talk about, and it's really off colour and it's upsetting you, you will sit there and take it as a rule, because it's polite. It's not polite to interrupt them, to just walk off on them and things like that. What you have to remember is, if you're in that situation, they're not bothering, they either can't read the cues from you that you're uncomfortable and unhappy,
which
or they're not bothering
to. Specifically. In
which case, you know, you're, when it comes to who's being more impolite, you're being this impolite by saying, I'm not comfortable with this situation, with this conversation, this situation, whatever, and just walking off, while they're being this impolite.
By ignoring the cues, they're ignoring your comfort levels, and they're just being awful people.
And think of it this way, if that, you know, you might do that to that person once, if two or three other people do that to that person, without any major... intervention from anyone, they may actually start to get the message that this behaviour is unacceptable.
Right, yeah. I've got a little list of people who've got questions. I just want to cut in as well to talk about community for a minute, because community is very important. We are a fanish community. It doesn't necessarily mean that you like everybody in that community, it doesn't necessarily mean that you dislike everybody in the community, but we are a community and we do take that somewhat seriously. And as Danny was saying, if just a couple of people say, look, dude, that's not cool, and if it's the same topic three times in a row, maybe someone will learn. You know, or at least they'll learn that their behaviour is unacceptable, but they are still acceptable. You know, you're still talking to them, you're still communicating with them, but you're saying, look, dude, that's not cool. Community is very, very important. And that is probably the only way that we're really going to expand the safe factors within a convention, is for everybody to act together as much as possible. Okay, Sarah?
I just wanted to go back to what Danny was saying, and also say that once you are that upset, though,
it's really hard to see past
the point to make the decision to say, dude, that's not cool, because you're busy suppressing your rage or suppressing tears in a lot of time and that sort of thing. So I think it's possibly a good idea to give yourself permission before you even start talking to people, or like, and to know that, okay, should this situation arise, this is what I'm going to do about it, and have a plan, because it's inevitable that it's going to come up at some time, if not at the convention, in your life, and to actually have that pre-plan to say, okay, if I start to feel upset, I am going to say, dude, this is not cool, or I'm going to say, I need to be over there, or...
The permission thing's actually a good point, yeah.
Because I know for myself, once I'm upset, it's just too late. There's no way I'm going to think about defending myself.
That safe word is not for other people to respect, so that you've got something, that you can say that you're comfortable saying.
Yeah,
so if your pet phrase is, dude, not cool, and that's your safe word, and you just pop it out when you need it, then giving yourself permission to use it and having something that you can say is really, really valuable.
Exactly.
And a lot of it's also about looking out for each other, because if somebody, like you said, if they're at the point where they're really upset, they're not thinking clearly, they don't necessarily know how to extract themselves gracefully from that situation. So it's noticing when other people are being affected like that.
And of course, if you do see one of your good friends who looks upset, but you're not sure, you can just go over there and say, hi, how's it all going? Or, you know, are you okay there? You know, it's not a big ask just to say, I'm just, you know, hey, Tori, how's it hanging? just communicate in some way. Just go and stand and listen for a minute before you say anything. Just check up on your friends.
The Back Each Other Up project?
I will, yeah, but we've still got a list of people who have questions. Tori was next.
Just as a measure of coping and thinking, not so much bounces, but for the smiley, not just a newbie friendly, but as an intervention.
Yeah.
Let it know that for people who are comfortable that, essentially, not a police force, even just if they need the help, or we can go get someone.
We were talking earlier about those as being like the safe house, you know, in around primary school zones, safe house.
So if you are in a situation and you want to talk to someone about it and say, was this appropriate, was this not appropriate, or can you help me at all, or do I need to go further, then anyone with anyone with one of these should be pretty sane and balanced enough to be able to help, or at least know who to point you at if you do need
just
further help, and action can be taken. Mediate, listen, whatever needs to be done. But yes, these are very good, which does also tie in with the Back Each Other Up project as well. But we've still got a couple more questions. So, Tori, Elaine?
If I can remember back now.
Sorry.
I think it was to do with confrontational, and I think I was about to just say that a lot of the times, a lot of the females have more difficulty confronting, because we're sort of socialised into not confronting.
To be nice.
Yes.
And pretend.
No, good girls don't raise their voices. Good girls don't argue.
Think of it as providing them with an opportunity for personal growth.
Oh yes, I've grown so much since I've been so gone. But yeah, some old habits still do die hard.
So. Yeah. Sophie?
Ah, I had two. First is simply when you were talking about animal clutching, it was kind of the subtext that you shouldn't, you know, see people are sexually available or whatever, but it doesn't have to be a sexual thing to make someone uncomfortable. It doesn't have to be at all, sleeves. It can be genuinely from a good-natured, affectionate, wanting to show how much you like someone. Like, I don't like being hugged, no matter how much I like the person. So I just think it's important to point out that it doesn't have to be borderline sexual harassment to be uncomfortable. Also, with confronting people, which I guess ties in with what you were saying, is it's important to remember, I found, that you don't have to, there isn't like a dichotomy between saying nothing and saying this was wrong for this reason and that reason and I'm going to tell you what you're doing wrong. And like, you can at least try and up, like, if it's a situation with you or someone else is uncomfortable, you can try something very subtle to indicate that you're uncomfortable, and that might work. Like, not going, oh, I'm not feeling brave enough to tell them exactly how I feel, so I'll say nothing. It's like, well, maybe if I try something that just is a little subtle, or trying to change the subject, but it might actually work. And so I find personally trying to create that space for myself and other people, if you give yourself permission to work a little bit, even if you don't feel you're up to the full thing, because that way, otherwise, if you think, oh, I'm not brave enough to be confrontational, I can't do anything, it's like, it isn't as bad as that. And you can hopefully work your way up to it. The stage I'm in right now.
Also, you don't have to be 100% honest, you know. If you see that someone's going to hug you and you don't want to say, no, I've got a cold. Solar.
That is another thing, actually, that we have this thing that we need to be honest. But it is, if you are in an uncomfortable situation, it is okay to lie your way out of it, basically.
Yes.
You know, just look after yourself.
Oh, look at my wrist. I've got to go.
Now, Becky and Andrew,
yeah.
Do you have anything?
I was just going to say that the problem is that I think people feel too safe at cons. Most of these people that behave inappropriately have perfectly normal relations with the rest of their working lives, and that by tolerating their behaviour, we're actually guaranteeing that it happens, because we don't provide feedback.
Yep.
Yes, there's something I was going to say, actually. You need to tell people, because they may genuinely not know.
Yeah. That's why we're here. Becky?
Yeah, I was just curious. If you're going to cover this later, that's fine. But what sort of steps or actions do you think an organising committee or board can take to kind of help foster this without going over the top and you know, becoming Gestapo, no touching type thing? You know, where is the balance and what can be done?
I think by providing a set of guidelines, maybe not rules as such, but I do think that behavioural guidelines is a good idea.
Well, the code of conduct's a good start, even though I haven't read it yet.
Yeah. Actually,
how many years have you been attending convention? Yeah.
I have to say, these are also a good idea.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s, in a lot of cons over East, you ended up with people who basically ended up with Finnish security forces. And that there were times when that worked out brilliantly. And then you got the people who basically, they liked the idea of they were the Finnish security forces. And so naturally enough, give some people power, not all people, but some people power, they will abuse it. And so it's those sorts of things. It's finding that sort of happy medium, and something like this works really well. Ian Gunn,
for people listening, oh, Danny's pointing to his friendship badge.
Yes, Ian Gunn came up with the beautiful one to combat the sort of the jackboot fandom, as he called them, the people who wanted to run con security all the time, were saying for HutCon in 1990 by having the good fairies, and everybody who was a person who was someone that could approach, like with these badges saying that I'm approachable and that, had to wear a tutu, which the con provided. And he said it was really fun. It was great. You could have a tutu in the colour you like, because he talked them beforehand. But his idea was that, but it's really hard to be an authoritarian ass when you're wearing a tutu. And the other good thing about it was that the mad jackboot fans that like to do this were approaching the con saying, we'll do your con security for you. And they said, that's great. What size tutu do you take? And they go, well, we don't want to wear one. Then you can't do some con security. But we're offering to help out for free. That's great, but you have to wear a tutu. We don't want it. And they didn't end up helping out at all. So, you know, and it's that sort of thing. But certainly...
But then that comes up with the object that you're making people which feel that they want to contribute socially isolated because they don't feel comfortable in that circumstance. Though.
Yeah, but...
It depends on what sort of behaviour you're trying to...
Exactly.
I know
that where you're coming, but you have to also look from the other...
I once had a con security threaten to strip search me and a friend, and the only thing that put them off was the fact that we both said, we're not wearing underwear. And one of them went, oh yeah, and slipped their hand down inside the... No, they're telling the truth. While the other one's going, we're going to strip search you. They go, no, they're telling the truth. They're not wearing underwear.
That's extremely...
That is extremely...
Yes.
That is,
oh, yes, it was.
Abuse.
And it was an all-female security team too, yeah. So...
Oh, dear, that's not good still.
Hmm.
Well, I just want to make a point. So I'm heard you saying about what committees can do, and Danny's saying about fan security things, is that these days, it's actually... There are very strict rules in place on... crowd controllers and security guards and such, and rules of course, and they have to be licensed and stuff. So actually, cons have to be very careful these days with the concept of setting up security for cons, because if it's not done properly, it places the con itself and the con goers at a great risk.
Mm.
Like, I think the idea of the friendship badges is an excellent idea of the other side of the coin of setting up a security force on the other side.
Okay. Okay, so we've talked a bit about community and how important it is, and we've talked a bit about what the con community can do to try and provide that safe space. And providing a venue is not enough. Providing a structure is good. Providing a code of conduct is also good. And I think this particular con committee has been very, very good at listening to the concerns of its members and also ensuring that everyone is heard. Because the other thing is that with the policing of safe spaces, there's never one story. There's always two sides to everything. And both sides of those, or even more sides of those stories, are all still part of the same community. And you need to act with fairness within that community. So people make mistakes, and they need to learn, and they need to come from that position. But they're always still a part of the community. If they choose to leave, then they choose to leave. But they're always part of the community. I don't necessarily know what the con community can do beyond what it's already doing to make this a safe space. I think that we try to make it as welcome and open to fandom as possible. Things like isms and other issues are something that we're growing in development on a personal level. I think that there's more isms in the programming, and there's more discussion about what is appropriate and inappropriate at conventions going on, and that's a self-education sort of system. We'll also talk about the Back Each Other Up, was it open source? Back Each Other Up project. Which is, in a way, it's kind of like this, except it's a lot more specific about if somebody needs to be walked to their car, then I will always be there. And it doesn't matter if I know you or not, I will walk you to your car. And I will work hard to try and provide a safer space as possible for you. And if I see someone talking to you and you're not looking totally comfortable, then I will check to make sure that you're fine. If I see you in a sexual situation and you're not screaming yes, yes, yes with every fibre of your being, then I will check to make sure it's okay. And it's just a list of rules, or not rules, rather guidelines.
Suggestions, maybe.
Suggestions on how to try and be more supportive and more supportive of safe spaces within convention areas, or convention spaces. We're doing pretty good, I think. I think we could do better, but I think we're getting there.
I think the fact that we're having the conversation
at all is an important thing. I think the fact we're having this conversation at a prime time with a pretty full room, within the program itself, as opposed to in a locked door room somewhere where it's basically women talking about what's happened to them at conventions, this is fantastic. We are getting there. Yep.
On the subject of the walking to cars thing, it hasn't quite been organised yet, but Alistair asked me before the con if I was willing to be someone who would walk people to the train station, that sort of thing. Me, Wing, Kaneda and Cameron have all put our hands up for that.
Okay, see, that's brilliant. That's fantastic.
It hasn't been sort of formally organised yet, but we're all available.
No, you're just saying to chuck up on the white main board.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fabulous. That's actually really fabulous. Yeah.
Put it up on the whiteboard and basically go, if you are going to be walking back to your, like, I'm parked in the library car park in Northbridge, I'm sure some other people might be as well, so there on the Northbridge, and say, if you're going to be going to Northbridge at night, you know, speak to a committee member, we will find an escort for you if you wish. You know, and the committee will have the escort list.
Cool. Any more points we wanted to cover?
Can I just say hooray for the committee in general, who have already done such a great job of making it a safer space?
We've still got...
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we've still got 10 minutes. Do any of you want to...
Yeah, something I really like. So the problem with the whole safer space thing, though, for me, is it was one real thing that really bothers me about it. And Andrew sort of touched on it, which is that it's a safer space for people to relax and behave in ways they wouldn't act. That it actually, in a lot of ways, makes it a less safe space because people know that they can behave in ways they wouldn't normally be able to and don't know when to stop. A lot of the talk has focused on essentially about a space to be safe from being offended. And that's not actually the thing that really, you know, really worries me. Because I mean, I think it's great if people are safe. But I think I react to it differently because I've just seen one too many incidents of a space that's sort of safe for people to be more sexually permissive, leading to, space in a very general sense, including fandom itself as a in a broader sense, leading to people letting their guard down, and then bad things happening. There's enough incidents that have happened to either people close to me or people that I've met, or even one or two cases where I was there and had to, you know, essentially haul someone out of a very bad situation. And this is sort of what worries me about what worries me about the whole dialogue is that it gets, we tend to worry too much about offending people. About being a space that's safe to be offended, whereas being a space where people will actually be assaulted or something worries me a lot more.
I think to a degree, for myself,
yeah.
That isn't as much of a fine definition as it seems to be for you. If I'm in a room with someone making rape jokes, there is no reason why I do not think I will be assaulted.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah. I'm not so sure. I mean, to a large degree, we've talked about how to deal with being offended by walking away or changing the conversation, all that sort of thing. But I think we have focused on trying to maintain a space where people do not feel comfortable assaulting each other.
I know, and I think the idea of a space being comfortable, but I think you have to be aware that a safe space, when we say we're talking about a safe space, we're not actually saying the situation you are in is necessarily safe.
That's
we're saying
great.
We're trying to make a space that's safer, but it in no way means you should let your guard down, basically.
Yep, that's great. People in fandom,
I would have to say, though, that I feel much safer, and I know I can't say if it's true or not, but I feel like I'm much less likely to be assaulted at a con than I am, say, down the pub or somewhere like that, though.
I mean, to take you as an example, you're a lot.
I don't like where this is going.
Just, because you are a lot less likely to be assaulted at a convention than you are at a rugby match or something, except you're not, because you're actually at the convention, not at the rugby match, if you see what I mean. You have to worry about being safe where you actually are. Not, you've already avoided, you make...
Safely avoided rugby.
I'm just saying it's the... I don't wish to offend any rugby fans. I'm saying the thing is, it's that you think you're... because you think you're in a safer space and let your guard down is when people are in danger.
What would you say is a way of getting around that?
It's the same things that you don't... You know, don't be alone with people you don't know and trust, but...
How do you get that call without saying people
here
are horrible and untrustworthy?
Well, they're probably...
Don't be alone with people that you don't trust. That doesn't even encompass half the things that occur.
I know, but...
It doesn't... See, you've got to be aware of... You've got to try and figure out earlier on, is this a person who respects my space, whether it's mental or physical? Because when you can see if someone's respecting your mental space, then there's a greater chance they're going to respect your physical space. But most people don't know how to learn those sorts of spotting what people are kind of like.
You can't always know.
You can never 100% know. Most rapes and abuses assaults are done by people that you already know. And don't be locked in a room with a stranger. Strangers don't have a problem. It is not strangers who are the big problem. So, you know.
No, and that's the danger. I'm just saying... I've seen enough problems caused by people basically letting their guard down and let themselves in a situation where they're not really not safe and have been. I don't know what to do about it. I'm just saying that's my experience of the whole thing.
Okay, I got another question.
I think you said it's letting guard down. As I said, the big thing is, as you pointed out, that you don't like people hugging you. And in this situation here, when we're at work and stuff, a lot of people do like hugging. When you're at work, you're in things like that, you don't go hugging around people. you come to con in the first half hour, hundreds of people have hugged each other, and it's that slightly letting the guard down of it can be in a situation where a hug, unfortunately, can possibly go a bit further for some people, such as yourself. You just go, oh yeah, how are you doing? Haven't seen you for ages. And I have seen some people that have freaked out because exactly that. They will have an issue saying as simple as a hug.
And the working in the same space.
Yep, and people come great. Here thinking, hugging's great, I get to see people and
what's
like that.
What's safe for one person is unsafe for another.
And it is that letting that guard down of we're here as a community and we've come here with common interests.
We do also need to be very tolerant, you know. You walk in and you do see 500 people, you know, 300 people that you know, and you're like hugging people by default as a way of saying hello, and it's very easy to step over the bounds. Yeah. And what we need to do is stop and think and perhaps later on apologise. To the people who are involved.
I was just going to say, can we have Maya's question then, maybe because we're running out of time, if we can wrap up with a bit of an action plan?
I'll try and make it short. To a certain extent, we have talked about some of those behaviours. I mean, we've talked about the person who is potentially going to be doing these things, and we've said self-regulation is important. Okay, sometimes people can pull that off. We've talked about not being the victim, but we've talked about being the observer, and that's about being compassionate and being conscious, taking care of your friends, behaving respectfully, and expecting other people to behave respectfully as well, and intervening. And if that means grabbing someone and hauling them out of a bad situation, or leaning over someone and saying, dude, you've got to stop doing that, or whatever, that's one of those behaviours. And another one, and this is a really crap one, which is being the person who is being attacked or being harassed or whatever, is giving yourself permission and being conscious and aware enough of being able to say, I don't like the way this is going, I'm out of here. Or, dude, stop touching me now. Or, I don't like the way you lean. Or whatever you have to say. And so, in a lot of ways, the way that we're trying to address these situations is by raising people's knowledge of all three of those roles and saying, take responsibility for your actions, take care of your friends, and also take responsibility for your own feelings, which is that if your gut instinct says, I don't like this, or I shouldn't be here, or I don't like being touched that way, or that person shouldn't be doing that, then you take responsibility for your own fear or your discomfort and say, I'm leaving, or get away from me, or I want my friends now. And of course, the other thing is when something bad happens, everyone's responsible for trying to fix it afterwards. So if you're a perpetrator, you have to own it, and you have to fix those relationships in whatever way you can, and maybe it will take you years. And if you're the person it happened to, then you have to communicate about that and stand up for yourself and get support and find ways to fix that in that community again. And if you're a person who's an onlooker, you have a responsibility too. And that's to take care of everyone in whatever way that you can. So there are responses. They are all difficult, and we all have a lot of responsibilities as part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have responsibility.
And you're right, when everything goes crap, that puts us all in a position where every single one of us can do something. It might be a small thing or a weird thing or a I'm just going to talk to people a lot thing, but you've always got something.
I think I was just saying, if you're in a safe space, that doesn't mean you're necessarily in a safe situation.
No. Well, things change every second. You never know what's going to happen. And we really hope it's going to be good, or at least interesting.
We're talking about safer spaces, trying to make the space safer. Yeah. We can't guarantee
it. You're never going to get 100%. Yeah. You can be walking in going, there are good people around here, there are people who've got my back if I need it, and I'm now, and I feel comfortable saying, fuck away from me if someone is really put in a position where you feel threatened. It doesn't necessarily mean it'll save you, but it might make it a little bit easier to deal with the fallout afterwards.
But yeah, I mean, if we could create ideal safe spaces for everyone, then give us the Nobel Prize now. But it's not going to happen.
I can give it $1 million that comes with that.
I didn't know there was money. Right, I'm on this.
If you divide it between all of the panel.
But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like I said before, people do the things they do because, it seems like a good idea at the time for whatever reason. And all you can do to combat the bad stuff is do the best you can when the times call for it. And some people are going to be up to it, some people aren't, but you've got to try. Just try and do the best you can. And it's establishing a dialogue like this and the things that the convention has done to try and improve things this year is a good start.
May I just point out quickly that in all the con bags there should be contact details for the Sexual Assault Resource Centre, and that if people don't feel comfortable talking to people at the con, they can call SARC, and that it will be kept confidential. So there should be either a pamphlet or business card in each of the contracts.
Yep. I've often thought a lot of cons, any space that's going to be more than sexual dysgarment really needs is sort of some kind of, here's a basic guide to sexual consent for the, socially clueless.
Especially,
very drunk does not constitute sexual consent.
Yes, so many people don't actually understand that the law says if you're drunk, you cannot legally consent. You know, people deliberately get drunk in order to engage in sexual behaviour, and it's really problematic. And I think in this kind of space, we unfortunately do have that sort of community norm of it's going to be sexually permissive, there's going to be lots of alcohol and possibly other substances available. And we need to think about what sort of behaviour we're modelling for younger people coming into the community as well. I think also with even the nature of a lot of the open relationships or poly relationships, I think a lot of young people see the end result of that and don't see the years of negotiation that went into creating a healthy relationship where you were able to then engage in that behaviour. So talking about all that stuff, talking about how to do these things responsibly is really important.
Okay, I think it's a thank you, and yeah, thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much to all of you for contributing. That was a really fantastic panel. I think we really scratched the surface.
A thing that committees can do is yep. Running a panel like this at every con.
Oh, God, yeah. At a different scratch.